trying to distract your prayer. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. He's trying to distract your prayer, because that means that it's already been approved. It's already on the way, and hell doesn't want you to get it, because he wants to keep you from making contact with God. Well, folks, every day we get up and we get dressed. We put on our clothes because we're, you know, we're going public. Well, God wants you to put on your spiritual attire to let the devil know you're going public. He can no longer hold you hostage. He can no longer control your life and no longer force you to live in defeat. Because today we're going to talk about how to put on the armor. We've been learning all series long what the armor is. Now it's time for you to dress for spiritual success. Come on, let me show you what I'm talking about. The Apostle Paul had said to the church at Corinth and to us that your struggle is not against the physical world, verse 12 of chapter 6, flesh and blood. That's where it is expressed. That's not where it's rooted. That's merely where the fruit manifests itself. It's not against the physical world, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces of this darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But the good news is he tells you to stand firm, because in that realm, Jesus has already gotten victory. In the spiritual realm, regardless of what you're going through in the physical realm, in the spiritual unseen realm, Jesus Christ has already gotten victory. You are victorious in the invisible, even though you may be thoroughly defeated in the visible. So if you want to be victorious in the physical like you are in the spiritual, you must address the physical spiritually. If you don't address the visible, physical, spiritually, then you have a victory that you're not experiencing because of how the physical is dominating. One of the toughest things for God to get his people to do is to look at life and live life from the spiritual frame of reference and not from the reference point of the five senses. He has given us equipment with which to do that. He comes to verse 18 in Ephesians 6, and he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf. I want you to notice how many times the word or a synonym for prayer is used in that short segment. All prayer and petition, pray, comes to the end of it, petition for all the saints. Beginning of verse 19, and pray. He closes out this segment with a call to prayer, because when you understand prayer, it changes that you pray, how you pray, whether you pray, and your expectations having prayed. But I want to explain what Paul wants to explain, which is why he uses it so many times in this verse, coming at the end of this section. Because if you understand prayer in the context of this section, it will change whether you pray and, in fact, how you pray, and it will change what you get when you pray. Prayer is giving heaven permission to intervene. Now, that raises a question. Why does heaven need permission? Why must I give heaven permission? There's a whole theology behind this, but to sum it up, you have to understand how God organized the world to work. He organized the world to work through people. Therefore, when he created Adam and Eve, he said, let them rule. So God has given us rulership over the earth. And he joins us when invited to do so. In other words, there are certain things God's going to do because, you know, he's God and he can do it. But there are many things, and maybe even most things, that God does not intervene on unless requested. Because he wants to know you want him. You need him, desire him, and have expectations of him. And so he does not intervene or participate unless requested to do so. Because God has given you and me and the human race the right to leave him out. Prayer does not force God's hand. But what prayer does is it calls on God to intervene in ways he wants to intervene anyway, but won't do it until requested to do so. Well, let me show you two passages right quick on this. First of all, James. He says in James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. He says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. In other words, he makes a condition of the healing the prayer. Then he makes a general statement. The effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. The effectual prayer, we'll tell you how to make your prayers effectual in a moment, but the effectual prayer of a righteous man, a man who's living to please God, accomplishes much. Not a little, a whole lot. Elijah, verse 17, was a man with a nature like ours. It says he's an ordinary man, just like you and me. Elijah had nothing on you. He had a like nature, just a regular man. But he was a righteous man, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it stopped raining for 3 years. He prayed again that it would rain, and it rained and then produced fruit or produced results on earth because, of course, that's what rain does. It allows vegetation and fruit to grow. So he says that this ordinary man got heaven to move because rain comes from up there. There was a problem on earth. He called on heaven and heaven moved. There's a whole bunch here. Let me just give you the cliff notes. God said it's going to rain. So watch this. When Elijah prayed, he only prayed about what God said. In other words, he wasn't just making up stuff on the spot. God said it was going to rain. But wait a minute. What God said didn't come true until he prayed. Even though God declared it in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, no rain hit earth until it got called down for from Elijah. In other words, prayer called down what God already had intended to do. Prayer didn't make God do something he hadn't planned to do. God had already told him, I planned for it to rain. All prayer did was call it down. What I'm trying to say is when Paul says to pray, he is not just saying have these general meaningless, repetitious, empty conversations and think that because you threw God's name out, it was something significant. He says what makes it significant is you understand what prayer is. It is earthly permission for heavenly interference predicated on the fact that this is what heaven intended to do. Prayer, let me put it another way. Your problem is in heavenly places. Prayer takes you there. Prayer is the human means of entering in to the supernatural realm in order to utilize the armor. When you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, and you look at the last piece of armor before he even talks about prayer, notice what it is. He says that we are to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, the best way to pray is when you throw God's Word back at him. You see, the best way to see, he knew he could pray for rain because he had heard the Word of God about rain. So he knew what to expect because he knew what God had said. Having known what God has said and praying in light of what he says gives you authority in the spiritual realm. Let me put it another way. If you don't know what God has said or you don't know what to expect from God, then you will pray vague prayers, you will pray empty prayers, and the armor won't seem to work because you're not connecting it with the spiritual realm in which it operates. He says, I want you to make contact with God. Flesh and blood. See, we spend all of our time talking to men about God and very little time talking to God about men. We spend a lot of time talking up to and about our circumstances. We'll talk on the phone. We'll talk to people who usually can't solve our problem. We're looking for sympathy. And so we talk to folks who can sympathize with us. But what you need are answers, not sympathy. What you need is heaven to invade earth. When you throw God's stuff back at him in a thing called prayer, you're not making God do something. You are simply receiving by faith what he's already planned to do. Prayer is the means of contacting the invisible spiritual realm and bring it down to the visible physical realm. And that is the way you engage the armor and put the armor to work. Now let's look at what he says here in chapter 6. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now watch this. He says, pray at all times. There are two Greek words for time. Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is simply time in general. It's seconds to minutes, minutes to hours, hours to days, days to weeks, weeks to months, months to years. That's Chronos. That's just time. General time. We exist in time, and we exist linearly in time. Time moves forward. That's Chronos. It's just the general concept of time. Why is he being so specific when he talks about your communication with God here? Because of the context in which this discussion about prayer occurs. It occurs in a context of spiritual warfare. It occurs in the context of putting on spiritual armor. And notice the real context that it occurs in verse 13. Take on the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. He's talking about the evil day. That's the day when all hell breaks loose. That's the day when you feel like you're going to lose your mind. That's the day when nothing's going right. That's the day when you're just not going to make it. That's the day when you wonder, how am I going to get through another day? Because you're under attack. He says, on that day, at that time, when you're under that kind of attack, you need this kind of prayer. Because that day demands the armor of God be worn by you in all of God's power brought to bear on your circumstances. What he is calling for is specific prayer, concentrated prayer. Let me say it another way. You are to call on him spiritually. You are to call on him spiritually. Now, the opposite of spirit is flesh. So maybe if I say pray in the flesh and do the negative, you'll understand what he means by pray in the spirit. To pray in the flesh, it's simply to mouth words coming out of your humanity
with no spiritual attachment to them. Now, let me tell you what happens when you pray spiritually. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When you pray spiritually, when you pray bringing the spiritual to bear in the situation. This whole chapter is about the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8. And he wants us to know that the Spirit is at work. He says, let me look at a couple of verses. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth until now. So again, this childbirth thing, this groaning, this aching, this labor pain. He says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Anybody here ever groan? In other words, because circumstances in life got you going, life is hurting you, and you're groaning, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and redemption of the body. Verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now this is when you're groaning and don't know what to say. Isn't got that bad. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints, watch this, according to the will of God. So why do you want to pray in the Spirit? You want to pray in the Spirit because he knows the territory. You want to pray in the Spirit because he knows what's happening up there in the invisible realm. He knows what the evil one is doing to you. He's calling you to pray in the Spirit. Let me show you how this thing works, because I think this will help us in our prayer and make my prayer more dynamic and more real instead of more rote and more boring. For many of us, a prayer is a boring thing, because we don't understand what's happening in the invisible. And if you understood what's happening in the visible, it wouldn't be boring anymore. So let me show you Daniel chapter 9. I know we turned into a number of verses today, but I want you to understand this principle so that you and I can experience the power of prayer. Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 2. Look at a number of verses. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed a number of years, which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of the Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Okay? Says he read the book of Jeremiah. Says he was reading the Bible and he observed something. He observed what the scripture says. Verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God. He prays in the Spirit, okay? Now, go down to verse 20. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain to my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, that's the angel, whom I had seen in the vision previously came to me in my extreme weariness, because he was tired, and the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. Wait a minute now. He read the word, then he talked to God about the word he read, then God sent an angel to say, let me help you understand some stuff. Because a lot of us could get through what we're going through if we just understood what was going on. But because, like Marvin Gaye, we just want to know what's going on, and we don't know what's really going on, we don't make the connection of what God says and our communication with God. Notice, he didn't send the angel to give him understanding about his situation until he prayed. But he didn't pray until he found out what God had to say. He found out what God had to say. He prayed. God sent a messenger to give him understanding. Look at verse 23. This is going to get good here in a minute. He says in verse 23, at the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, a righteous man, so give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. Don't miss this. He says, when you pray, the command was given for me to come. All right, watch this now. when you prayed, the command was given for me to come. Now turn to chapter 10. Verse 10. Then behold, a hand touched me, set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words which I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. Notice, I came because of your words, but your words were tied to God's words. So when you brought your words, hooked them up to God's words, God sent me to talk to you about what you talked to God about. But watch this. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, Michael the archangel, came to help me. For I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to days yet future. All right, let me break this down. He said, he's reading the word, and God says something that grabs him. He's reading the prophet Jeremiah, and the words jump off the page. And he says, well, wait a minute, this applies to me. He then gets on his knees and talks to God about what he just read. So he's now in the spirit because he's bringing God to bear on the situation. Twice it says, on the day you prayed, God sent the answer. All right, watch this now. See, because there are a lot of people here wondering why God's taking so long. He told Daniel, your prayer was answered the very day you prayed it. Now, why was your prayer answered the day you prayed it? Because you're highly esteemed, you're a righteous man, and you're praying according to the word. When you're a righteous person praying according to the word, it doesn't take long for God to answer your prayer. In fact, he says, God answered it on the same day that you ask it. But there was a 3-week delay. God answered it the same day, but it says it took me 21 days to deliver it to you. Okay, Gabriel, why was there a 3-week delay? There was a 3-week delay because a demon showed up. He says the prince of Persia. That's a demon because he calls himself as an angel a prince. He says the demon over Persia, which is where you're living. The demon that's hovering around where you're living was there, and he blocked me as I was trying to deliver to you on the same day that you ask it. The demon, you see, unless you know what's happening in the invisible world, all you see is God's not answering my prayer in the visible world. He say, but Daniel, I want you to understand what's going on. This was a demon, and the demon lived where you're living. The demon lived in your neighborhood. The demon lived in Persia, which is where you're living. Just like God has a post office to deliver your answer, hell has a post office to block the delivery. Hell wants to keep the delivery away. So now you got a battle between angels that's stopping you from getting the answer to your prayer. It's not that God hasn't answered your prayer. He answered it the day you prayed your prayer. But because there is a battle in the heavenlies, there is warfare in the spiritual realm, that's why that is the delay. So the question is not, God, why haven't you answered my prayer? It's how do we work out this spiritual warfare so the answer that you've given gets to me? He says, I was coming down, and the demon or the prince of Persia that is set up to block the answer that I was to deliver to you, he blocked me. And we were rumbling for 3 weeks. But then God sent Michael, he big angel in charge, he sent Michael down to give a brother some help. And when he sent Michael down, now, if God had to call Michael, that means the demons were rough. So he has to call Michael. Michael and Gabriel double team the dude, get him out of the way so that he could deliver the blessing. Now, here's why you got to keep praying. Don't keep praying to get God to answer if it's based on his word and grace has already provided everything you're supposed to get. You don't keep praying to get God the answer. You are now praying for God to intervene to keep Satan from blocking the answer he's already given. So now you're praying in faith. If the enemy is trying to distract your prayer, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. He's trying to distract your prayer because that means that it's already been approved. It's already on the way, and hell doesn't want you to get it because he wants to keep you from making contact with God. Somebody ought to be ready to talk to God. Somebody ought to be ready to find out what God has to say and throw it back up in his face, because a lot of the stuff you're asking for has already been pre-approved. It's just that in the spiritual realm, there is the attempt to block it. But if you will persevere at the Kairos time and specifically throw it back in God's face, he'll send the help needed to break it through so that you see it revealed in the physical realm.
Well, you ready to get dressed? Okay, let's put it on, because the armor is put on by prayer. That's what Ephesians 6:18 says. It's by prayer that you put it on. A lot of people say, well, how do I put all this stuff on? By prayer. That's why prayer is so critical, because it's how you get dressed. And to help you pray for your victory and for your spiritual success, we have a resource, a brand new book called Prayers for Victory and Spiritual Warfare. So in whatever area you're needing to put your clothes on, we have a prayer for that area. In fact, we have a series of prayers using each part of the armor for all 30 of the areas. So we will cover whatever your spiritual struggle is right now. Contact us, The Urban Alternative, 1-800-800-3222, or log on to TonyEvans.org so that we can get you your copy of Prayers for Victory and Spiritual Warfare for a gift of any amount. Be as generous as you can. We do need your financial support in order to keep this ministry coming to you. But our greatest desire is to get the resources to you, because we want to pray and celebrate the victory God has for you. And we have a whole series of prayers just for your victory. God bless you. Thank you for your generous financial support. Thank you for praying for us, as this book will allow us to pray with and for you. See you again next week.